Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. They've got this all over the internet. It's on YouTube. It's on David James' website. It's on Yahweh's followers. It's on EFR here. They're rebroadcasting the stuff. And the written word that I'm reading out of is on Anglo-Saxon Israel, but that's an old copy of Exodus. The new copy hasn't been posted yet. I got to get with Eli and we got to update it. It's not quite exactly the same, but it's close enough for government work. And you can follow along. Even if you follow along in a King James Bible, that'll show you the comparisons. If you do that, if you use a KJV, you can see how they've changed things and get a perspective on what's going on here. And we're going to start back in Exodus, and we're going to start in chapter 14 today and see how we can do while we're running around in the scriptures. I'm going to re-up the chat room because I can't seem to put... my comment in there of good morning, so I'll just say good morning and leave it at that, because I like to look in case somebody has something pertinent in the chat room. We do pay attention, so I'll move the cursor out of the way. Oh, I'm working with two computers and two cursors and two keyboards, and oh boy, fun. Let's start in here on chapter one, or verse one of chapter 14. I've only had two cups of coffee, folks, pardon me. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi Hakiroth, that's 6367, between Migdol 4024 and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, that's Baal of the North, actually, 1189. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. Because Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Verse 4. And I will strengthen Pharaoh's heart so that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored, 3513, upon Pharaoh and upon all his army, 2428. So that the Mitzrayim may know that I, am Yahweh. And they did so. Verse 5. And told was the king of Mitzrayim that the people fled, and the heart of Pharao and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Verse 6. And made ready he his chariot, 7393, and took his people with him. Verse 7. And took he, the action is before the article, and took he 600 chosen, 977 chariots, and all the chariots of Mitzrayim and captains, 7991 over every one of them. Verse 8. Pardon me. And strengthened Yahweh the heart of Pharao, king of Mitzrayim, and pursued, 7291, he after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. They had plundered the Egyptians, as was promised Abraham, when Yahweh told him what would happen in the future. They took all their silver and gold and food and clothing, and I mean, they were happy to give it to them. Because Yahweh had just slain all the firstborn, and the people wanted them gone. And they knew that Pharao was to blame because he had persecuted us. I'm not going to say Israel like it's somebody else. It was us, our people, because we are Israel. Verse 7. And took he... No, I did that. Pardon me. I'm getting off base here. Verse 9. But pursued the Mitzrayim after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharao and his horsemen, 6571, and his army, 2428, and overtook, 5381, overtook them and camping by the sea, besides Pi Hakiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when came near Pharao, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, marched the Mitzrayim after them, and they were afraid, they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out, 6817, to Yahweh. Verse 11. And they said to Moshe, because there were no graves in Mitzrayim, have you taken us away, that's one word, 3947, to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way to go forth from Mitzrayim? Is this not the word that we told you in Mitzrayim, saying, let us alone so that we may serve the Mitzrayim? Because it would have been better for us to serve the Mitzrayim than to be put to death in the wilderness. Yeah, well, O ye of little faith. Verse 13, and said Moshe to the people, fear not, stand still, 33:20, and see the salvation, 3444, of Yahweh, which he will show you today. Because the Mitzrayim whom you have seen today, you shall see no more until everlasting. 5759. Verse 14. Yahweh shall fight for you. 3898. And you shall keep silent. 2790. He was upset. Getting tired of their mouth. Verse 15. And said Yahweh to Moshe, for what reason do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel so they will go forward. Verse 16, but lift up the rod. Now he's speaking of the rod that had become the serpent and the crocodile and that he was going to use to bring water from the rock. This was the rod of Yahweh. And stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Divide. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. 3004. Through the midst of the sea. Oh boy. And I, behold, I will strengthen the hearts of the Mitzrayim, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor, 3513, upon Parao, and upon all his army, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Same today. Yahweh's got it, folks. You don't need to worry. Trust in Yahweh. Wait on Yahweh. Pray to Yahweh. Call out on his name and obey his commandments. And he's going to hear you if you do that. But if you continue in your apostasy and worshiping on your day of the sun god, Sol Invictus, and keeping pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter, he will not hear you. Because you do not worship him. You're committing apostasy when you do these things. When you put your pork chop on that plate in front of your family. When you're commanded not to, Israel. Think about that. Verse 18. And shall know the Mitzrayim that I am Yahweh, when I have gotten me honor upon Parao, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And Yahweh's not kidding here. Not at all. Verse 19. And moved the messenger of Elohim, which went before the camp of Israel, and went behind them, and went the pillar of the cloud from before their face and stood behind them. Verse 20, and came it between the camp of the Mitzrayim and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness, Koshek, 2822, to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one did not come near the other all the night. Gave light to Israel, not to the Mitzrayim, in which pitch blackness out there. They couldn't see them. Couldn't see whether they had fires in their camp. We're talking Yahweh here, folks. Not some little false Elohim. Some little miracle worker from the devil that's trying to do minor miracles. We're talking about the Yahweh, the only, the one. Verse 21, and stretched out Moshe his hand over the sea, and caused Yahweh the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, 2724, and the waters were divided. Because if he didn't dry it all out, they'd be walking in muck from the bottom of the sea. This is the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. Wasn't all that deep compared to the ocean, but it was an inland sea that met the Mediterranean there. This was a backwater of the Mediterranean. And they could go over there. That's why he directed them there. Verse 22. And went the children of Israel into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand, and on their left. You get a great big backwater, great big buildup. when you push water like that. And he held it as a giant mountain of water on the right and the left, because he had a use for it. Pardon me. And pursued the Mizraim, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen, all his Hyksos warriors. Verse 24, and it came to be that in the morning watch looked Yahweh into the army of Mizraim through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and confused 2000 in your Strong's Concordance, the army of the Mizraim. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, so that they were heavy to drive. So that said the Mizraim, let us flee from the presence of Israel, because fights Yahweh for them against the Mizraim. Made their wheels fall off their chariots. But Pharaoh is not going to let them stop. He's going to drive them on. They're going to be more afraid of him, because he's right there. And that's going to cost them. Verse 26, and said Yahweh to Moshe, stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may turn back upon the Mizraim, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Verse 27, and stretched forth Moshe his hand over the sea, and returned the sea to its permanence. 386, when the morning appeared, and fled the Mizraim away from it, and tumbled about. 5287, Yahweh, the Mizraim in the midst of the sea. Verse 28, and returned the waters, and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. These two great big giant walls of water that had held back for Israel, when Yahweh let them go, a huge wall of water like a tsunami from both directions just crushed them. Just crushed the enemies of Israel. What a sign. And this is going to be told throughout all the lands where Israel will be going. And they're going to be afraid of the God of Israel. They even will know the name of Yahweh if they don't worship him. They'll know his name, and they will fear him, and that's the point. That's the honor that he got on the Mizraim, which were the Hyksos, and Pharaoh. He left him nothing. He destroyed his whole army. And later we were talking, Eli and I were talking, about the invasion and stuff, and the conquering, subsequent conquering of Egypt after the Exodus, because he had no army left. How could they resist? Yahweh killed them all. What is he going to do to the Edomite enemy of Israel? I keep reading 2 Thessalonians, which I will do at the end of the show. I think I'm going to make it a regular thing, because people need to hear it and be reminded and have faith in our Father that he will take care of our enemies. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and upon their left. The water fell in behind them. They were still walking while Mizraim got, and when they all got down behind them and were chasing after them, skidding their chariots without wheels along the mud bottom. He waited till they all got in the path of the water and dropped the water on them. But he held the water back from Israel so they could walk out. This is the God that created the entire universe, the divine being. I hate to use the word God because it's a pagan thing and from Gad. And we keep trying with our pathetic science to match his miracles like the magicians of Egypt did. We can't. We're only men. We have monumental egos at times, and we think we can do all of this, and we think we have power. There is only one power. All power is Yahweh's. He may let us use some of it from time to time, but the power remains his. The earth remains his. He has the cattle of 1,000 hills. They're his. He lets us use stuff here, but it's his. We forget that. Verse 30. Thus saved Yahweh Israel that day from the hand of the Mitzrayim, and saw Israel the Mitzrayim dead upon the seashore. Verse 31, and saw Israel that great work which did Yahweh upon the Mitzrayim. And the people feared, 3372, Yahweh, and believed Yahweh and his servant Moshe. He used Pharaoh to set an example. In chapter 14, verse 5, you can reference the book of Yashar, that's Jasher in the English, book of the upright, Sefer Yashar, scroll of the upright, chapter 81, verse 19. Verse 9, you can reference Yashar 81:24. Verse 15, you can reference Yashar 81:36. And verse 28, you can reference Yashar 81:40. So here we have an arrogant Hyksos, who was not actually a Mitzrayim. They called him Mitzrayim because they stole the name, like Edom is trying to steal the name Israel today. Good analogy there. Very much a parallel. And they oppressed Israel. Well, what is Edom doing to Israel now? It is oppressing true Israel, trying to steal our name and our heritage and our birthright. They're going to be as the Mitzrayim in Paroah when Yeshua comes back. And I'm going to read this from 2 Thessalonians right now, because this is what's going to happen. You just saw or heard what happened to the Mitzrayim. This is what's going to happen to the children of our adversary, the Edomites, when Yeshua Messiah comes back. Verse 6 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. Verse 7. And to give you who are afflicted, that's us folks, Israel, rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim, and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Now that's from the Scriptures, by the Scriptures Research Institute. Those of you, even of Israel out there, that do not obey Yeshua Messiah, do not obey what he taught, which was the Torah, you're going to be cut out of the sheep and put in with the goats. It says clearly in Revelations, not all of Israel is going to be of Israel. He wants obedience. He doesn't want sacrifice of blood. He finished that with Yeshua Messiah. You don't build another temple on the Temple Mount and start sacrificing animals again. That's what the Jews are talking about doing now. We shall see what we shall see. Now, we're going to go into verse 15. And I'm going to explain this to you. This is all of verse 15 is a song in Hebrew. Now, we don't have the tune. The tune is lost. And so is the tune for Miriam's song. Okay? That is lost. And I'll give you a little example of chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moshe and the children of Israel this song to Yahweh, and spoke, saying, I will sing to Yahweh, because he has triumphed gloriously. 13:42. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Okay. Ashira la Yahweh ki ga'oga'a sus wa rokebu rama hayam. Verse 2. Yah is my strength. Yah is the epithet for Yahweh. It is number 3050. And strength is 5957. Yah is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. 3444. He is Eli. 4:10. Remember when Yeshua said, Eli, Eli, and he called out, why have you forsaken me? And I will prepare him a habitation. 5115. Elohe, my father. That means divine being of my father in that form. That's number 430. There are many forms of that. And I will exalt him. 7311. Oze wizimrath yah wayehi li leshua. Ze Eli wa anewehu Elohe abi wa aromenehu. They had that to music in an Eastern style. Well, I'll stop reading in the Hebrew because you don't know what it means, but I wanted to give you an example of that so you understand the mindset of these Eastern people, because that's where we started out from, Aram, which was Syria, and then we went all over. Terach, father of Abram, who became Abraham, was an Arami. And they've changed the voice, the words in the scripture, you shall not abhor an Edomite, which is Edomi. And they substituted Dalet for a resh, a D for an R, and they changed the whole context. Because all through scripture, Yahweh says he hates Edom. Well, it says in the Hebrew, you shall not abhor an Arami, for they are your kinsmen. That's where we came from, Aram. Yeshua Messiah spoke Aramaic, which is very close to Hebrew, except for some minor spelling differences and some different pronunciation. It's almost identical to Hebrew. But they want you to think you're not supposed to abhor an Edomite because they are of Edom. So they have changed the text. And I have changed it back. So there. Verse 3. Yahweh is a man of war. 4:4:2:1. Yahweh is his name. No doubt about that. 4. Paro's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captors are also drowned in the sea of reeds. Verse 5. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Verse 6. Your right hand, O Yahweh, is become glorious. 142. In power. 3:5:8:1. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has shattered, 7:4:9:2, the hated enemy, 3:4:1, which is more emphatic than the other hatred, 81:30. Verse 7, in the greatness of your excellency, you have overthrown, 20:40, those that rose up against you. You sent forth your burning wrath, 27:40. Which consumed them as stubble. 7:1:7:9. Verse 8. With the blast. 7:3:0:7. Of your nostrils. 6:3:9. The waters were gathered together. 61:92. The floods. 51:40. Stood upright. 5:3:2:4. As a heap. And the depths, 8:4:1:5, were congealed, 7:0:8:7, in the heart of the sea. Verse 9, said the hated enemy, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire, 5:3:1:5, that means emotions, being, person, soul, my desire shall be filled, 43:90, upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them, 3:4:2:3. Oh, yeah. Verse 10, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead, 5:7:7:7, in the mighty waters. Verse 11, who is like unto you? 3:6:4:4, O Yahweh, among the Elim, 4:10. That's the divine beings. There are other divine beings, angels. Now, the fallen angels seek to present themselves as gods, equal to Yahweh, but they are not. They're just Elim. Who is like you, glorious in holiness, revered in praises, doing wonders? That's a question that stands today. We need to ask ourselves that. Who is like Yahweh? Who can equal the divine being that created the entire universe? Think on that. Some scientist? Our science has learned to poison the air, water, and land, and we've learned to make weapons to more efficiently slaughter one another in the never-ending wars of the Jews, so white man kills white man. Boy, that's progress, isn't it? Think on that. Who's like Yahweh? Not us. Verse 12. You stretched out your right hand. The land swallowed them. Verse 13. You and your mercy, 2:6:1:7. That's that grace that Eli and I talked about. That's an Old Testament term, not new. It's all through scriptures in the Old Testament. Here it is. You and your mercy have led forth, 51:48, the people which you have redeemed, 13:50. Who is Yahshua? He's our Redeemer. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation, because they're going into the land of Canaan. They're going to take it over. Verse 14, the people shall hear. What people? The people in the land that they were going into. The people shall hear and be afraid, 7:2-6:4. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Pelesheth, 6:4-9. That's the land of the Philistines. Here you go. Verse 15. Then the chieftains, 4:4-1, of Edom shall tremble, 9:2-6. The chieftains of Moab, chieftains, 3:5-2, different word. Trembling, 7:4-6:1, shall take hold of them. Take hold of is 270. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Now they're going to melt away in fear. That's the purpose of what Yahweh did, to keep these people off of Israel until they could get a good foothold in the land. Verse 16, fear, 3:6-7, and dread, 6:3-4:3, shall fall upon them by the greatness of your arm. They shall be as still, 18:26, as a stone. Until your people pass through, O Yahweh, until the people pass through which you have purchased, 7:6-9. Verse 17, you shall bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, 5:1-5:9. In the place, O Yahweh, which you have made for you to dwell in the sanctuary, 47:20, O Yahweh, which your hands have established. 18, Yahweh shall reign forever, 5:7-6:9, and ever, 5:7-0:3. 19, because the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and Yahweh turned back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. That is the end of Moshe's song. Here's verse 20. And Miriam, 4:8-1:3, that's the sister of Aharon and Moshe. She's the eldest. She was born before both of them. She's older than both of them. The prophetess, 5:0:3:1. The sister of Aharon took a tambourine, 8:5:9:6, in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. And answered Miriam to them. They would repeat this song over and over and over, and the women would dance in a circle. That's how it was done. Sing you to Yahweh, because he is lifted up in triumph, 13:42. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. That's the song of Miriam. Let me see. I lost. What did I do with that page? There we go. 15:23, 15:21. And answered. Miriam to them, okay, Wata'an, 6030, Lachem, Miriam, 4813. Sing you to Yahweh, because he has lifted up in triumph the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Shiru la Yahweh, ki ga'o ga'a sus wa rokebo rama bayam. And they would sing that over and over and over and dance in a circle and do that trilling sound that the women of the East do. We used to do that. All of this history and all of this ritual is ours. Like the wearing of the four-cornered garment with the tzitzit. We're supposed to do that today. I do. I wear one every day. Put it on in the morning when I get up. It's got a thread of blue in it. The Jews don't have a thread of blue in theirs. I'm not letting them steal my birthright. Verse 22. So brought Moshe Israel from the Sea of Reeds. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Okay. That's bad in that area. It's desert. Verse 23. When they came to Maratha, 4785, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, 4785, which means bitter, because they were bitter, 4751. Okay. That's why they called the place Marah. So therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Marim is the term that they used. They were bitter. That's a plural noun to describe the waters. Verse 24. And murmured 3885 the people against Moshe, saying, what shall we drink? Now that's Wayelonu, murmured the people. Verse 25, and cried he to Yahweh, and showed Yahweh him a tree, 6086, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them. 5254. Nisahu. He tested them. And said, if you will listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohecha, if, okay, the big two-letter word, number 518, if you will listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohecha and will act uprightly, Yashar, like the book of Yashar, the book of the upright, act uprightly in his sight and will give ear, that's one word, 238, to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. That's if, remember, if I will put none of these diseases, 4, 2, 4, 5, on you, which I have brought upon the Mitzrayim, because I am Yahweh that heals you. 7, 4, 9, 5. What have we got upon us today? All these diseases, all these physical health problems, because of the little two letter word if. If. Boy, we just are so stiff-necked. We just don't get it. Im shamoa tishma lekol Yahweh Eloheka v'hayashar v'einiv ta'aseh v'hazanta le'mitzvotev v'shamarita kol kukev kol hamakala asher samete b'mitzrayim lo asim aleka ki ani Yahweh rofeika. If you will listen to the voice of Yahweh Eloheka and will act uprightly in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought upon the Mitzrayim, because I am Yahweh that heals you. And if you do not, somebody, 3947, Pastor Mullet, which word are you referring to? I'll give you an answer. I wasn't watching the chat. I was reading from two papers. Verse 27, and they came to Elima, 3:6-2. Where there were 12 springs, 5, 8, 6, 9, literally eyes, that's what they used, that word is used for an eye of water, 12 springs of water, and 70 palm trees, 8, 5, 5, 8, and encamped they there by the waters. In several places in this chapter, the Masoretes have replaced the name of Yahweh with Adonai, number 136. I have restored it where it belongs. They did that in the English and sometimes in the Hebrew. The name is Yahweh. It is always Yahweh. It is not Jehovah. It is not Lord. It is not God. It's Yahweh. That's it. There was a chemical problem with these waters in verse 23. This tree that he threw in probably had a neutralizing agent in it. And that is why Yahweh told Moshe to toss it into the water. He tested them. 5254. Obey or not obey. It seems an easy choice, but how much trouble do we have doing it today? This is why the Messiah came to make propitiation for us. And in that verse, act uprightly is the same word that is used in the book of Yashar. the Book of the Upright. Now, you have posted a question about 3947, Pastor Mullet. What word are you referring to? I need to know that so I can give you a reference there. I don't see a 3947. Nope. I don't see 3947. It's 3477 for Yashar. But he hasn't reposted, so we're seeing the same situation today as we saw in those days with the punishment. He is warning Israel right there that if you obey, this is what I'm going to do for you. But if you do not obey, this is what I am going to do to you. He's doing it to us today. We're getting a divine spanking in spades. Because we're in apostasy, we are not obeying. This is not good. We need to, basically, as the old time preacher said, we need to get right with God. We need to get right with Yahweh. There are a number of laws that pertain to Israel that have basically been ignored for a long time. I'm trying to get people to wake up and read these laws. Now, I'm going to offend people right here. That's going to be bad. Oh, you're doing this, you're playing temple, you're trying to be a Pharisee. No. These are Yahweh's words. We're to wear a beard. The men of Israel are to have a beard. Sorry if that's not fashionable, if it's irritating, if it's scratchy and itchy. We're to wear a beard. The men of Israel are not to wear long hair. The women of Israel are not to cut their hair off and bob it. Women of Israel are not to dress in men's clothing, and the men of Israel are not to dress in women's clothing. The men of Israel every day are to don a four-cornered garment with fringes on the corners with a thread of blue woven into them. That is a commandment, not a fashion suggestion. There are 12 threads in that you fold over. And you weave them and tie knots in them. There are 12 knots for the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those 12 threads is a thread of blue. That is a commandment. That is not a suggestion. We are not to eat pork. That is a commandment. That is not a suggestion. We are not to eat catfish. No scales. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. We are not to eat shellfish. That is a commandment, not a suggestion. Why? Because pork retains toxins in it that other animals expel. So do the shellfish and the catfish. Only the priest wore a bread. No, all men of Israel, read it in the Psalms and in the story of David, where They couldn't come back into the camp until their beards were regrown when they had shaved half of them off. All the men wore a beard. You shall not mar the corners of your beard. That is a commandment. Now, how are you going to mar the corners of it unless you have a beard? You have to have a beard. That's men, you know. That's not important. If it wasn't important, Yahweh wouldn't tell us that. Everything that Yahweh said to us is important. That's how He wants it done. Get used to the pecking order of the universe. He's Yahweh. We are not. We keep trying to delete His commandments. Oh, that's not important today. Times have changed. There is nothing new under the sun. When Yahweh gives us a commandment, that is a commandment. Doesn't matter whether we like the commandment or not. He's Yahweh. We're not. It says, if you obey all these commandments, I will do this for you. I won't put these diseases on you. I will heal you. And if you do not, He's going to give that later. He's going to say, all these things that I did on Egypt, that's going to be repeated in Scripture several times. If you obey, it's this way. If you do not obey, it's this way. Well, it's the not obey this way today. That's the problem. He wants obedience rather than the blood of bulls and goats. He gave us a Redeemer to wipe out our apostasy. Yahshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What did He teach? He taught Torah. That's all He taught. He taught kingdom theology. He did not teach personal salvation, running up and making a show in front of everybody at an altar with some Judeo-Christian preacher on the day of the sun. We're not worshiping Yahweh worship. We're worshiping Talmudic Christianity. You can't mix the two. You can't do it. But we're trying, and we're being punished because of it. And you go, hey, you know. He's given us fair warning, brothers and sisters. Fair warning. Do this, and I will bless you. Do this, and I'm going to punish you. And the question I pose to you right now is, are we or are we not being punished today? And if so, why? Why? I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but I didn't write the book. Yahweh inspired it to be written. So with that thought, I will say, may Yahweh bless you, and may the Holy Spirit guide you in your actions and everyday life, and I will see you tomorrow. And we'll start with chapter 16 of the book of Exodus on the morrow. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.